Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
What's going on, you good humans? Welcome to a special bonus episode of Good Humans Podcast. This is a special Be Kind to the Environment episode. I've been doing a few of these episodes, and what I've been doing is these really cool environment workshops at schools and different places all around Australia with a few friends of mine. It's been a part of a grant that we got through the New South Wales government to go and deliver Be Kind to the Environment workshops to try and upskill and educate people on how to take better care of the environment and also how to take better care of the oceans. Part of the World Youth Ocean Day, which is coming up in June, is this education workshops that we've been running. So at the workshops, I've been interviewing some of the other guests who have been speaking, who are experts around the environment. Also some of the students who have been part of the workshops to learn what they've got out of the workshops, and also some of the teachers. So this episode is from Port Macquarie. We went there a few weeks ago to run a workshop for a few different schools at the university there, Charles Sturt University, which was a really cool workshop. Really interesting. A couple guests I had on, which were Sam Fricker and Cal Glansnig, plus also the principal of one of the schools in Port Macquarie called the Nature School, which is just a really cool school. She tells us all about it, and one of the students from the school. So let's jump into this little chat. Welcome to Good Humans Podcast, and welcome to Be Kind to the Environment. A few awesome guests. Let's jump into it.
Welcome to Good Humans Podcast. Rani from Port Macquarie, the Nature School. How are you going, Rani?
Very good. Very, interested in all the speakers from the workshop.
Inspired is probably the word you're looking for. Inspired. We're here in Port Macquarie right now for the Be Kind to the Environment little workshops that we've been running all around the country, and it's great to be here in Port Macquarie. What do you think of the workshop? How is it being a young person who goes to a school, obviously, that already is very interested in taking good care of our nature and the environment? How nice was that to have some experts in different fields come to Port Macquarie and share some information on how to take better care in the environment?
It was absolutely amazing. I loved hearing all the inspiring stories of how people got to where they are today, and all the interesting ideas and
And ideas is where it all starts. I wanted to quickly chat to you. You got asked to speak right at the end of the workshop about your very smart, very intelligent invention that you've made. Do you want to tell me a bit about where your idea came from and what your idea is to save water in every household?
Yeah. So my invention is called the AquaLoop. It started in term one last year while I was in year seven as an assignment to It was a project to invent something that was water-wise. We didn't have to make a prototype, but I kind of wanted to, found it cool, interesting. And so I went home, had no idea what I was going to do, and then had a shower. And then I watched water run down the drain because I didn't want to have a cold shower. And I thought, where is all this water going? Why aren't we using it? And so I then went to my dad, told him about my idea, and then I went back to school and I drew up what I thought it would look like and planned the whole thing. And then we went to Bunnings and we bought some solenoid valves and some plumbing, and we put together this kind of device in a box with a bunch of circuit boards on top and a button and called it the AquaLoop. And then, so it was to save water when you're waiting for the shower to heat up.
So how does it work? So it's basically a way to catch the water. So instead of it going down the drain while you wait for the water to heat up, like most of us have hot showers, and it saves that water from going down the drain. Is that basically what happens? Oh, yeah. How does it work?
So it will go up in your roof. And we did some research to see whether it would be better to have one device in front of each like kind of tap, or whether it would be better to just have it at the source of where the water's coming from, so you can save everything or just save what uses takes up the most time. And we found it was just, it kind of depends on the household, but it will sit in your roof, and then there is a temperature detector on it connected to some circuit boards, and once it gets to the set temperature, so it, until it gets to the set temperature, it will,
pull the water,
yeah, it will go through a different pipe, which my idea was to recirculate it instead of go to another tank and call it grey water because it's not, hasn't been used, to just send it right back to the hot water system and just start again, so it gets used for its original purpose. And so, yeah, once it goes to the set temperature, it'll just switch over and go through the shower head.
That is so smart. I can't believe you came up with that in year seven. And do you just want to real quickly tell me about what's happened since you came up with that invention? As you said, you didn't have to make the prototype. You went ahead and made the prototype, and then you've now won an award for, do you want to tell me about the award that you won?
Yeah. So originally it was just the school project, and then we did a Sydney science trip in term three, and my teacher Lloyd got me into the Young Creators Conference at the Powerhouse Museum, which out of nine schools, I had a table there to present to a lot of people. And there I met a lady named Iman Solomon, and she runs EduTech Australia, and she was doing a competition where you did a bunch of workshops on entrepreneur stuff and all that. And then I went to the competition, presented my idea and won, and, you know, got trophies, shiny awards. And then a lady from ABC saw what I'd won and what I'd done. And so then she interviewed me, and I got an article in the ABC last year.
Wow, that is just so spectacular for being your age and to do something that is not only an invention to save water, it's something that can be used everywhere. So it's super entrepreneurial. And the first thing I said to you was like, you got to get a patent on that, because that seems like, I just think in the world, we all want to get ahead. We want to create something that can maybe make us a lot of money. But if you can do something that's going to make you money, but also make the world a better place, that's a real trick in life. And that's exactly what you've landed on. So good on you. Thank you so much for sharing that with myself and my audience. I'm going to keep an eye out for when you have it commercialized and people can buy it, because I'm sure everyone will be really happy to get a way to save water in their house, which in turn is going to save them money, but it's also going to be better for the environment too. So thank you so much for coming to our workshop, for sharing your story, and yeah, for coming on Good Humans Podcast.
Thank you.
Amazing. Welcome to Good Humans Podcast, Catherine Shaw. How are you going, Catherine?
Fantastic. And it's so great to have you and everyone that's been here for the World Oceans Day kind of celebration and the workshops with students from my school and other schools in Port Macquarie today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I love Port Macquarie. I've spent a lot of time here over the years and have got to surf a lot here. And my biggest rival ever in surfing comes from here, but it's always nice to come back. But I had no idea about your school when I got here. You're the principal of the Nature School. Can you tell me about the Nature School? I see all the students here today in uniform. That's very different to any of the schools I've been to. Seems like very interested in the work that we're here trying to share today around the environment. So do you want to tell me what the Nature School is?
Oh, the Nature School is the best school in Australia. I mean, every principal probably thinks that about their own school, but I just absolutely love this school, and I moved to Port Macquarie for the school. So my background is, you know, over 20 years in education in quite typical K to 12 kind of schools. But once I had my own kids, I was really challenged about the way we do some things in schools. And I started to question, is there a way that we can do it differently? Mm-hmm. And would it be better for young people to do so? And, you know, as a mum, my kids spent heaps of time outside climbing trees, and they were really outdoorsy kids. And then, you know, we come to school and typically we spend time within the four walls of a classroom. And so the Nature School is really an opportunity for children and young people today to have the world as their classroom. And in Port Macquarie, it's such a beautiful place. You know, the beaches are our classroom, the wetlands are our classroom, the bush is our classroom, as well as the class that we have on site. So we teach the same curriculum as every other school. We still do spelling and maths and science and technology and art and geography and all of those things. But we teach outside as much as inside, if possible. Wow. And every kid has full days off site all the time.
Wow. And you're K to 12?
We're still a growing school. So we're K to 8 at the moment. Okay. And we're going to keep growing through till we're a K to 10 school. We opened with about 20 kids in the school, and we're now up to 160 students with a wait list on pretty much every class in the school. So people are really interested in this different way of doing school.
I think it's amazing. I think to like Steiner schools, ways similar, maybe?
Yeah, similar but different. Got lots of colleagues and friends in the Steiner system. It's kind of its own, has its own methodology and pedagogy, I guess, if I can use teacher jargon there. We teach mainstream kind of curriculum. We just, who says you have to be inside a classroom to do it? In fact, teaching science is better outside. How do you teach geography if you never, you know, get out and do field work and map work?
So. I think it's amazing. I'm like so for it. It's funny. I didn't learn about that there was even a thing as a Steiner school until I'd fully finished school. And then I lived in Byron and there was a Steiner school down the street. And someone was like, oh, it's a Steiner. I was like, what is that? And they're like, oh, it's a school where you do this and this. I was like, that sounds like more of the school that I wish I went to. And it sounds like the nature school is kind of a hybrid almost between what we're getting taught, because I go to a lot of schools for the work I do. I do mental health workshops and I've spoken at probably over 100 schools over the past 2 years. And just it seems so outdated, some of the stuff that I see at school, the stuff that I talk about with mental health and well-being. I'm just like, a lot of the problems we're creating almost because of the way that we're educating and the lack of education in certain topics. So I commend you. I think it's so beautiful the way that it seems like your school's doing stuff. But what does it mean to you and your students to be able to come to today's Be Kind to the Environment workshop and see people like Sam Fricker, people like Plastic Free Sophia, Ben Dessen, and of course Stephen Rodden, MIT NASA scientist who's now dedicated his life to protecting the environment. So how special is that for yourself and the students to have such important people come and speak to the audience today?
And you.
And me.
Look, it was really affirming, I think, for us. As you spoke, I watched some of our students and they were just nodding along with you because they actually weren't hearing something new from you. Now, I suspect when you go into some schools, absolutely, all the stuff about gratitude and mindfulness and breath work is new. For our students, it's what they do every day. So hearing someone else other than their principal and their teachers saying this is the best way to live your life is really affirming. And then all the other speakers, I felt like there was someone for all the kids, you know, the kids who are into art, the kids who are into robotics, the kids who just want to be zoologists, the kids who are into sports. There was someone for everyone. And so that was an opportunity for everyone to connect in with someone they look up to and go, look how that person is taking care of the environment. How can I take my lead from them and how can I find my own voice and use it to impact the world around me?
I love that. And I think it's like you said, there's such a good variety of all of us speakers that each student can feel like, oh, I can align with that message. I can align with that. There's no one way that we can care for the environment. But if we all look for one way individually, then the environment's going to be in far better hands. So thank you so much for letting me speak to one of your beautiful students who I'm sure you're so, so proud of.
I'm proud of all of them. They're all amazing young people.
But yeah, speaking to her was incredible about that. Must make you so proud seeing your students come up with inventions that are going to make the world a better place.
Yeah, I say to them, you don't have to wait till you're a grown up. Like, you have a voice now. What you think matters now and what you do can really matter now.
Well, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast, sharing a bit more about your school. I'm sure anyone who's out there who wants to learn more about the Nature School can find a bit more about it online.
Yeah, look us up on socials. We're on Instagram, Facebook, or just have a look at the website.
Epic. The Nature School, Port Macquarie. Get around it. Thank you so much for jumping on, Principal Catherine Shaw.
Thanks so much, Cooper.
Yoo-hoo. Welcome to Good Humans Podcast. Sam Fricker, Cal Glansnig. How you boys going? I'll start with you, Sam. How you going, mate?
Very well. It's good to see you back on the podcast so soon.
I know, far out. It's always nice to get to catch up with both of you lads. But to do it here at a pretty important event. We're here in Port Macquarie, Be Kind to the Environment, the third workshop that we've done. What do you think it would have meant to you if you got to have a workshop like this when you were at school, Sam?
I think seeing people who were a few years older than me, so not so old that I couldn't relate, but people that were a few years older that had taken action and had their own challenges and impacts and plans and have kind of been successful in their field. And I feel like when you have someone who is a few years older than you that you can relate to, it gives you that kind of fire inside that says, hey, if he can do it, then I can do it. And I feel like having more people around you that following their dreams and following their passions, who are achieving things that maybe you want to achieve. I think just having that within an arm's reach can change your perspective on it.
Oh, massively. Just showing what's possible can be such a big one. And that's why it's so nice having both of you guys hopefully myself, people like Sophia, Stephen, Ben, all really under that 30 years old, but making stuff happen can be so much more impactful for young people. Let's talk one real quickly, Sammy, on the one thing that you've been doing that you've actioned. I know you've been on my podcast previously a long time ago now. We will have to catch up for a catch up again. But for those listening right now who are intrigued in this episode because of the environment, do you want to tell us about what you've done for the environment with Sam Straws and what led you to doing it?
Yeah,
and what it is, I guess.
Well, I suppose thanks for having this on, because Coop's had me on his podcast a while back, and it's good to see how big the Good Human Factory has grown and into the Be Kind to the Environment. And for me, I want to be kind to the environment because I grew up around the oceans. I know you spent a lot of time surfing, and I did nippers as a kid. The water was always my place of escape. And I saw the video of the plastic straw stuck in the turtle's nose. And we've all seen that video, and they pull that straw out, and you can see the pain in the turtle's eyes and the blood, and it's quite graphic. And you think, how could this one plastic straw have that much of a negative impact? And that's one example that we had on camera. So that was the turning point for me to wanting to take action, to do something, and I suppose provide a solution, because there's enough people just yelling that there's a problem. And it's great that we're aware of the problem.
Let's take action.
It's even better to take
action. Time for awareness is over. It's time for action.
100%. And even I know when I watch anyone's content or what someone else is doing, I like to see, I'd rather someone say, hey, I'm trying to do this, come along as we give it a go, rather than, this is what needs to be done. Look how bad this is. Look how bad that is. You know? Like, you want to kind of bring people with you. So I started looking around. We looked at bamboo. Pasta went a bit soggy. Bamboo was too expensive for single use. Paper didn't work at all. And wheat was like an old idea I thought we could bring back. And it's actually the stem of the plant. So the grain goes to make food. We use the stem, which is a byproduct, for a straw. And of course, once it's done, it biodegrades into micronutrients instead of microplastics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a full kind of circular economy. And it was my way of taking action to a problem I saw. And then, again, being able to amplify that story to hopefully encourage other people to take action.
I love it. I think as well, having a product that is not only a byproduct, but usually a waste product. They usually just burn it, correct?
100%.
I have a friend who created coconut bowls as a business as well. And I'm like, geniuses. Any product that can use something that is literally going to be burnt or wasted, but then turning into a product is like my favorite kind of product. I think it's amazing. So anyone listening, so I should have probably brought a bit of context. So Sam, for anyone listening, is an Olympic diver. He's an ambassador for the Good Human Factory, a great friend of mine, and probably one of the most followed social media superstars in Australia. So for you to be using your time, using your energy, using your profile to do good, I think is so commendable. So thank you for being an ambassador, and thank you for sharing that little straw. I will leave in the show notes for this episode the link to Sam Straws. So if you're someone who does use a straw pretty often at home, you've got some of those plastic ones, or you've got some of those ones that just get dirty and mangy, and you're like, you know what, I want single use, but I don't want to be doing something bad for the environment, check out Sam Straws. Use a straw, throw it in the bin. It's good for the environment. Doesn't get any better. Your good friend sitting next to you, Cow. Is a friend that
grateful to have so many positive mates. I just got to say.
Did I meet Kath because of you, Sam? Because of Stelfina?
Maybe Britt.
Yeah. So Cal is another great friend of mine sitting next to Sam right now, for those who are listening, but also someone who's doing some really important things for the environment. And you have been adjudicating these workshops for us. You've also been doing some big things globally when it comes to taking better care of the environment. Do you want to explain a little about the project that you did in high school? Because I think this is something that people listening right now, if you're a school kid or if you're a parent of a school kid, is a really good way to show that we can make impact as young people when it comes to the environment.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Coops, and for all the work that you do in, you know, mental health and the environment is just such an interconnected issue, because half of Australians and young Australians are so concerned about the environment. So it is really impacting our mental health. So to be able to, you know, deliver these workshops, show the tangible solutions and the problem solving ideas, that's what's going to lift people up, because hope does lie in action. It doesn't lie in, you know, sitting around scrolling at the, looking at the problem. Like, if people want to be hopeful about the environment and, you know, it's all about, you know, taking care of yourself, but then, you know, taking that step in, how can you change your own world? So yeah, the message that you bring to these workshops is quite unique, and it's definitely, you can see the positivity in people's faces when you share your message. So yeah.
Yeah, so tell me what you did. Yeah, I appreciate you pumping my tires. Everyone's so nice, but no, I just want to talk about your high school experience because you now are part of the United Nations. I'm going to butcher what it is, but you're a representative for Australia, for young Australians in the environment at the United Nations level, which is massive, but it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So tell me what you did at high school.
So it all started in a science class where we watched The Inconvenient Truth with Al Gore, and we were just sitting back watching just the world unfold with climate change. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what can we do about it? Which we weren't really presented with any solutions. And in my high school, I then went to our local environment club because I was like, okay, well, that's a route to potentially, you know, add some value, do something about it. We spent a whole lunchtime looking at a place to put up a poster. And I thought, well, this isn't really a good use of my time. So that was the last time I went there. but then I kept looking at, okay, well, what's the biggest impact that you can make as a student? And then obviously solar is such a was such a very untapped thing in schools back when I was at high school. So I wrote a letter, took it to the deputy principal and said, look, can we get solar? This was in year 10 and I didn't get a response. So I like put together all these afternoons, like writing this proposal, which obviously took a while back then. I wasn't that skilled at typing. And then, yeah, didn't get a response. So then went and pitched for the SRC in year 11, went up there to all my peers and said, hey, elect me. I'm going to try to get solar installed. Wasn't elected. They it was a very interesting and then sort of the story. So then in year 12 school captains came around. I think like our school loved like memes and like my year group were very like they elected people who like wrote a song for their speech, and I was actually going up there like to being try and serious make change, yeah. So then when school captain speeches came around, I sort of like everyone in the year knew who I was. I was told like it was between me and this other guy for captain. Like I was I was involved in like music programs at school, like sport. Like I was very well connected in the year. And so I thought, oh, well, what can I do to sort of make like a good time for my year to sort of like, they're either going to vote for me or they're not. Like they've known me for 7 years. So I messaged Scott Tweedy on Instagram because I loved Prank Patrol when I was a kid. So I messaged him and said, hey, like I've got an idea to do a prank for my school captain speech. Would you be keen to come along? And he actually got back to me. And yeah, so we planned to do a prank for my speech. Anyway, that all unfolded where the school ended up withdrawing me after the prank from being school captain because they thought it was really unfair for the year and for really? The other candidates.
What prank did you do?
So he came, he had his full disguise. It was like the most surreal experience. He's like honestly the best guy ever.
So let's say he's a guy that's like massive prankster on YouTube or something.
Yeah, well, on ABC. On the ABC. Show Prank Patrol.
Did you ever see Prank Patrol?
Yeah. So
he's coming on my podcast on Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell him I say hi. I haven't spoken to him or anything since he came down to my high school and we tried to do a prank. So he
what happened?
So he had a like big wig and a hat and he was undercover. And the prank was going to be him telling me telling the year, you know, hey, instead of my school captain speech, I've actually been selected as part of this reality show where they're, you know, following different Australian, young Australians, blah, blah, blah. And he was the video, like had a big film camera that he hired. And then he was going to be like, action. And then like, cut, Cal, you got to be, you know, funnier or whatever. And just really annoy me throughout my speech. And then it was going to build up and I was going to say, oh, you know what? I want out of the show. Like, I'm sick of this. And then he'd say, oh, is there anything you want to say? And then I'd rip off his wig. You guys just got pranked by the prank patrol. That was the plan, but it wasn't meant to be because the school caught wind of it. And so as we're waiting to sort of go out, like I've been planning this for months, like this prank. And so they came to us and they said, oh, Cal, like you can't bring Scott out. It's going to be like too unfair to the other candidates, blah, blah. And I had approval from all the right people at the time. And then they said, oh, well, you can bring him out, but you're going to be disqualified as captain. And I said, screw it, let's do it. And then Scott was like, no, Cal, like you work so hard, like don't worry about it. Go for school captain. Like, and then I got told I could bring him out after my speech. So I was like, as people, this is already everyone's in the hall, like people are starting to give their speeches. I've just got a blank piece of paper. I'm frantically writing something out because I didn't prepare anything. And then, so I do like this little like butchered introduction of myself, and then I bring him out as like, you know, a cousin who's friends with Scott, and I say, oh, being a school captain's like being Scott from Prank Patrol, you've got to have good time management skills, etc. So he comes out and he's like, I've known Cal my whole life and be a great captain because I'm actually Scott from Prank Patrol. Year goes berserk, like people crying, like it's just crazy. And I don't think the school teachers like knew how, like he's a cult hero in my age group. So everyone quickly votes, they rush to the back to get photos with him. And anyway, so that's why the school.
So we
and then you get disqualified.
Yeah, so then they disqualify me. Then we all have to vote again.
I think you should get voted. You should get extra points for being so industrious and being able to come up with a plan like that.
This is how the solar sort of continues, though, because we all. So then everyone votes for captain. My name's taken off the sheet. I obviously get into SRC. Like people go up to the SRC speech and they say, oh, don't vote for me, number one. Vote for Cal. He deserves all the votes. Someone dresses up as Scott for their speech. They get into the SRC saying, oh, hey, I'm Scott. I forgot my wallet at the school. He gets into the SRC. Like, it just created this buzz around the year and the whole school. Anyway, so I get into the SRC really easily, but the school feels so guilty that they, like,
they should
absolutely cut they me should. Down at this opportunity to be a school captain. So anyway, so they... I then go again with the solar idea. The principal says, oh, it's too expensive. But then I email the Department of Education and say, hey, I'm part of the SRC and our school's really interested in this. They come back with all this information that actually the costs have gone right down. That the principal then brings me into his office first day back. It's actually really easy. So then he, helped me get solar and was a real advocate for it because, the school felt... I don't know. It's just like things go around. They sort of felt like they owed me a little bit for the, you know, experience that I had.
Losing you.
Yeah, it's a very long, story, but ended up getting $100,000 worth of solar panels installed at the school. And then when that happened, a lot of other school leaders, you know, it was in the paper and stuff. So they contacted me and said, oh, hey, how did you do this at, you know, 17 years old? And I said, here's a slide deck. This is who to contact. This, you know, it's all really easy. And then it led to a council actually adopting a school program for all their schools. So there's now 20 schools in that little area. I helped schools at Tamworth, like all over New South Wales. And that sort of like, I guess, led to this mindset of like, all right, well, if you had this idea, going back to this science lesson where you're learning about climate change, you're like, what can we do? Like, you actually can do something. And like as young people, which is why I think these workshops are awesome because you're just hearing all these different perspectives of like just taking that first step and how things can just build over time. And little would I know that that would take me, you know, to... doing things that I've done since going to the UN the last 2 years.
Tell me about the UN the last 2 years, how you got involved in that and what sort of impact you're making or what sort of presence you're getting to have in that conversation.
Yeah, so I think actually the UN, you can't really do too much as a Australian or a young Australian. Like you're there to sort of just like keep the decision makers accountable, collaborate with other people across the world, hear their stories, try to then share their stories in the work you do in Australia. But I was invited through the World Ocean Day, which I was part of the Youth Advisory Council, and then that sort of put my name forward to be part of this program that went over there. But yeah, it's like quite a heavy experience. Like when you're speaking with people your own age from places all across the world that are like in absolute dire straits, it just really reminds you firstly of how bloody lucky we are in Australia. And just particularly like where I live in Cronulla and the Sutherland Shire and Sydney. I mean, everywhere in Australia is just like insanely... was so privileged. So that was a real, like, the first year I went, I was just like, so many afternoons, like, you just finish up the conference and you like cry or just like angry. Like, you just get all these random emotions because you're dealing with like humans that are just like pouring out the issues that they're facing and the fact they're going to have to leave their homeland in 5 years, 10 years. And yeah, just don't have the support from, you know, countries like ourselves. So it was I'm so grateful to have that experience, and it's definitely grounded me a lot. It's really shifted my North Star to wanting to do as much as I can over the next few years.
Yeah, good on you, man. What is something someone listening right now, give me a top two things that people should be doing that can have some sort of impact individually?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, which is my sort of journey since I got back from the first United Nations, was like trying to work out what we can do. I feel like the biggest return on investment or ROI that any young person or anyone can do, because you know you can sign 1,000 petitions, you can go to protest, like there's so much you can do. I think from a time standpoint, if you meet with your local representative who want to meet with you, so whether your local council, state government, federal government, probably take an hour of your whole year, like half an hour to drive there, maybe you know 15-minute, 20-minute catch up, half an hour driving back, you know, to a local cafe or something, just telling them how you feel about, you know, plastic, climate change, you know, no matter what the problem is, and then just asking them what they're doing about it. And if every young person, or even if 1% of young people in Australia did that, we've got, what, 20% of Australia's population is Gen Z, which is 4 million, 5 million people. So if 1% did that, that's like 50,000 or I think 50,000 people.
5,000. So 5 million, 50,000.
50,000. Yeah, maybe 50,000 or 5 million. We'll get the maths. We'll cut this out.
5 million. We'll get the
fact checking. Yeah. But it'd be so many people that the local representatives would feel like there's a groundswell and they want to be elected, but they also want to represent what people are telling them. So I wouldn't even say top two things. I'd just say like one thing, if you want to do one thing for the environment over the year, that would take like an hour of your whole year, that would be the biggest thing. Just reach out to a local representative, just catch up with them for a coffee and just see what they're doing.
Just asking them what they're doing to keep them accountable, because yeah, there's such a importance on the environment, yet so many of our politicians are taking an interesting stance on a lot of stuff. So I guess the most important thing as well, once you can vote, is voting with awareness behind it. So many of us just vote because, oh, it's just what our family votes, or, oh, it's just what we kind of think is best for our taxes that we have to pay. But it's like, yeah, but what's best for your future? So trying to be smart with your vote is so important. Who should we be voting for?
I don't want to comment because I think it's
changes. Yeah,
obviously. With your values and like voting.
From an environment point of view though, what parties should we be putting? Should we be researching?
Well, it changes state to state. And that's the thing, is like in New South Wales, for example, the Liberal Party is super progressive with the environment, but federally it's the complete other way.
Yeah.
So I think
that is really hard to like wrap your head around, because good friends of both mine and Sam, and I'm probably sure yours as well, James Griffin, who used to be the minister for a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to butcher it now. But
heritage and the environment.
Was he?
I thought it was heritage and environment.
Yeah, heritage and environment for New South Wales until Labor obviously took over. So there's like, oh, it seems like Liberal, he's super, so positive for the environment, but then on a federal level, it's so different. That's why it's so confusing, well, it just the politics depends, side like, of stuff.
But I also think like we all have, because at the end of the day, no one wants to be in opposition. Like they want to be in power. And I think the power's with the people. And if politicians don't actually know that young people, or I guess, yeah, young people care about the environment. And it's not like you're going there and egging them, or you're going there with a protest sign. You're just genuinely like having a chat. And if enough people do that, they'll shift their policies really quickly, as we've seen in New South Wales.
Exactly, with the plastic bag banning and a whole bunch of stuff like that. With enough noise, we can make change. But, boys, thank you so much for taking some time to share a bit more of your story, having a bit of a chat. I'm sure we've got a quick bit of lunch to eat before you guys are about to race to the airport. So thanks for jumping on Good Humans Podcast.
Goops, thanks for having us.
Love you, boys.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.